Welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with another edition and my favorite gardener, Lance Swaggart. Good evening, Lance.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Great to have you here coming off of that triumphant pledge drive for KVNF. Thank you to all of our listeners.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Really good time. All of our regular worms in the house for that, and thank them for being here and the Brain Trust. But we're back, and we're starting off the season. Lulu will be back next week, but we're here right now, 970-527-4868, 866 KVNF now. You can email us, worm@kvnf.org. Let's just talk about the obvious, the weather.
The weather.
Yeah.
Cold, wet.
Windy.
And windy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So things are still pretty soggy up in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. I went to actually that bed that I want to plant all my early stuff in.
Yeah.
And I'm two-thirds done, but I went in there today, this afternoon, and actually, it was frozen.
Oh, no kidding. And this is the one that you shoveled
the snow off of. And yeah, it was frozen just from the cold mornings we've been having the past four mornings.
Right.
Yeah. And stuff. So that's not getting done right now.
Delay of game.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of, I haven't, just where my garden's situated, I haven't had that much wind. I got I have Redless Mesa to the west, which is higher than me, and then I had Oak Mesa to the east, and it's way higher than me. So the wind doesn't really dip down into me; it has to go up and over Oak Mesa.
Oh, that's a nice pattern that
you've got. So those kind of spring winds, I don't get hit. That, you know, I have my regular down valley wind that breeze, but that's nothing.
Whoa, that down valley wind. I love it this time of year because it's so fierce and so predictable in the morning. But it's fierce and cold.
It's cold.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, it's one of the most picturesque and beautiful valleys I've seen in decades. The amount of snow that is on the mountains surrounding us here in the North Fork. Yesterday, the clouds lifted and it was just poofy and marshmallowy. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah,
it's so exciting.
And it's amazing to see snow that low this time of year.
It is. Yeah. Really loving it. 527-4868-866, KVNF now, worm@kvnf.org. Now, with those soggy beds, you kind of caught your garlic falling over.
Oh, this does happen from time to time. And this, I haven't had it for a long time, but I was walking around and just, you know, I'm looking at doing stuff and oh, there's some cloves of garlic sitting on top of the ground. And what happened was the freezing and thawing with really moist soil, the roots can't, it's slippery and they just get pushed to top of the ground. So I actually pushed them back down in the ground, and there was just two. I've had, you know, sometimes I've had the entire bed in the years past, and that's when I really made an effort to plant them deeper. But the other way to keep that from happening is once you plant it in the fall, mulch it.
Yeah, I was going to ask what you have on top of that bed.
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
And is that typical for you, or did okay.
Yeah, I plant them 4 to 5 inches deep.
Yeah, so you went deeper, less mulch.
But, you know, mulch, the easiest thing is just to mulch it, and then the ground stays frozen a little longer. That heaving doesn't happen as much.
Yeah, that heaving, exactly. And even with it cold, stuff still wants to grow. It's like, hey, I think it's time.
It's time. Yeah. Right? The garlic's it's a little slow, but that's okay. But it's every week it's a little bit taller. You know, the sorrel's a little bit taller.
Sorrel, nice.
I have one dandelion blooming.
I love it.
You can't help but see a bright yellow flower brown grass.
Go dandelion.
Yeah, really. And the other new bulbs, like the alliums, are up. Mm-hmm. And then the Oriental poppies, which is the perennial big orange flowers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, those are up. You know, so it's really pretty amazing to see these things, even though it's been so cold, you know, that they're still growing. Of course, the fall and winter weeds are having a grand time with all this moisture.
Yeah, we talked last week or the week before about the Burr buttercup already popping its cute little head.
Yeah, well, I saw it blooming today.
Oh, you did?
Down in Hotchkiss.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So, get the hoe out. get after it.
Yeah.
Okay. 527-486-8866. KVNF. Now, let's check in with Marilyn, who sent us an email, worm@kvnf.org. She has been growing some rosemary transplants in the house this winter, and she lost a couple because she's got powder on the rosemary leaves. So one has a powder-like, all but one has a powder-like coating on the leaves. So it seems to be.
Yeah. It's a hard one. It's some type of, it could be as simple as powdery mildew, you know, and stuff. And
can you lose your plant to powdery mildew? Because she says.
Well, they're not photosynthesizing or not as well. So, yeah, it could die back and stuff. I'm trying to think of. The problem with rosemary, there's definitely people that have worked it out, but it's a Mediterranean plant, and it wants it more dry. It's not something you really need to baby, you know, and stuff. It's a lot like people overwater their lavender. Again, another Mediterranean plant. Now, it's hardy enough here, but rosemary does not winter over here. And stuff. So I would set it out in the sunniest place you can. And like tomorrow might be a really nice day. Set it outside for a few hours. And I would see if you could rinse that powder off. Spray it off somehow.
And then let it sit in the sun.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That sounds like a wonderful afternoon.
Yeah, just do something, and you might fertilize it, not with nitrogen fertilizer, but kelp.
Okay,
with kelp. Or any of those low, just micronutrients is what you want.
All right. And with the cold, you don't have anything in the ground yet, maybe some fall planting coming up, but are you spraying your trees, or are you using kelp right now?
I actually, about 3 days ago, three afternoons ago, I went and sprayed all of my fruit trees and all my grapevines and the rose bushes. And I even sprayed the garlic area. I sprayed it with kelp.
And just putting nutrients out there.
Yeah, and that's kelp in this situation helps plants go through stress. And, you know, 11 degrees, 12 degrees.
That's stress.
Yeah.
Especially on those new little saplings.
Yes.
Seedlings you have in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so is that just a spray that you make? Do you take a powdery kelp and mix it with water?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a type of kelp that's, shall I say, processed so that it will dissolve in water.
Okay.
You know, and you do have to shake it a bit because it will, excuse me. it will get a little gelatin, agar from the kelp, you know, so you have to keep it shook up and or shaken up. And yeah, you can get that. And there's another product called MaxiCrop.
And
that's kelp with fish emulsion. And that works really good also. And there's different types of kelp. Some kelp is designed to go through drip irrigation systems. Really fine and powdery. And then there's kelp that, what I'm talking about, which is used as a foliar spray, or I also put it in my compost tea when I use that. Mm-hmm. And then there's a kelp that's much more coarsely ground, and that's used directly in the soil.
All right.
Yeah.
So good. Lots of different ways to get it into your soil and garden.
Yeah, and you can buy that. Most garden centers, or you can ask. Mm-hmm. But it's available.
Yeah. And that's pretty much a standard in your garden shed. I mean, you've got that on hand all the time.
I was able at one time, and I'm still using it, I was able to buy I think a 50-pound bag or box. It came in a box, 50-pound box of it. And from what I understand, it's in such high demand that you can only buy like a pound at a time now.
Oh, no kidding.
Because it's, they want to be able to sell to everybody instead of just big growers. So yeah. I've had that for 5 years.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You're stocked up on kelp.
By chance I did that. Oh, yay.
We all know how lucky the plants in your garden are. Now we just really know. And let's remind our listeners that you can check out Lance's garden this spring, April 27th.
Yes.
It's happening. It's sponsored by the Learning Council in Voga.
Mm-hmm.
You're having a garden tour up at your garden on Redlands Mesa?
No, on LaRue Creek.
On LaRue Creek.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for correcting that. On LaRue Creek, right under the Mesa.
Yeah, right under Redlands Mesa.
Yeah. And that's going to be late in the afternoon, 4-ish or something like that.
Yeah, 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting because of the wet spring. Your garden's going to be in maybe a different stage than it's been in the past at the end of April.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be behind by 2 weeks.
Really? That much?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
You don't think you're going to, like, turn up the juice and really work hard over the next...
I'm going to be turning up the juice no matter what.
Right.
But, yeah, that and that the main thing is that's we're going to be talking about what to plant now. So I've already written a list down of all those plants that people like to plant.
Oh, good. It's going to be...
And stuff. I just have to have it typed out, printed out, and then make copies made. And if you do come, I really don't have parking. It's on street, off the side of the street, so carpool as best you can.
Yeah, carpool sounds good. And vogaco.org or thelearningcouncil.org, more information about that. That's going to be exciting. 527-4868-866, KVNF now, worm@kvnf.org is the email. Being out there in this cold weather, and we're almost into April, and we all start to think about blossoms and fruit trees.
Uh-huh.
So what are you seeing out there, the status of the fruit trees?
My fruit trees are all really dormant. Okay, and the apples and pears aren't even, forget it, they're not even doing anything. And the plums weren't doing anything. The apricots, the white apricot was just starting to push just a little bit. And you can take those buds off, just take one, and you can open it up. And at the base, you can see the baby little apricot or peach. I did a peach tree too. And if that's still green, you still got fruit. If it's brown, then it's that particular bud is dead. And so things have been thinned.
Yeah.
So I've tried two types of apricots and a peach, and they were doing just fine.
Yeah, it seems like they never got an opportunity yet to come out. So my peach tree the same. It still looks like it's the middle of winter on my peach tree.
Yeah, so. They haven't come out yet. And so... Unless other people have other experiences, I don't know. They can call up and let us know where their trees are if they'd like.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And there's a way to look at the buds in a grapevine there, but you got to dig in there. You got to actually dig into the bud, and I prefer not to do that.
Yes, yeah, so you haven't checked the grapes.
Because if you do that, you'll actually ruin that bud.
Right.
So I just leave the grapes alone.
They always seem to come around.
Yeah.
You know, the grapes always seem to take care of themselves
one way or another.
Yeah. Also, phone number is 527-4868-866, KVNF now. Lance is here to answer your questions or to chat about gardening.
Yeah.
But your compost pile is being affected by the cold weather as well.
Yeah. It's pretty cold. And it takes a little while to heat up. And the other thing is all the materials I use from my kitchen waste or yard waste from last year, and the manure was really wet.
Right.
And so there's not enough air in it.
Oh, yeah. It's all just super dense.
And I actually turned it – Sunday in a snowstorm. So what the heck? I'll stay warm. But I actually turned the compost in a snowstorm on Sunday afternoon. And we'll, and then next week I'll turn it again. Mm-hmm. And by then we'll have some good air in there.
And you're, how many piles do you have going now?
Two.
Two. And is that typical? Or
I'll have two more.
Two more by next weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like this time of year, I have barely enough room to run four compost piles.
Right.
And I need it. I'll need it in 2 months.
Right, yeah. Right. So it takes what, about how many weeks for a compost?
6 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks.
To yeah. have that finished yeah. and ready mm-hmm. to go.
And I'll run that all through the shredder.
Oh, great.
Yeah, at the mm-hmm. That other end.
And you've got then more manure that you're adding to that and just mm-hmm. everything. I mean, everything. All the...
Yeah, this is the first time I've never had to water a compost pile.
Oh, wow.
Because it's
that's saying something.
Yeah, you know, that's 40 years of making compost.
Wow.
The first time I did not have to water it.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, and lots of times I was going, oh, good, I can make these compost piles and I can take my gray water because that's what I do with my gray water.
Right.
I throw it on the compost. That would have been detrimental.
Because it would have
made
frozen.
It really wet.
Yeah.
Really, really wet.
We're talking soggy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we'll be able to see that in mm-hmm. action at your garden
yep.
tour as well.
Yeah. We're lucky at time. Last time I did this, I actually turned a compost pile. So we'll see what happens this time.
Right. What's happening? All right. 527-486-8866 KVNF now. Yeah, so weeds are up. You've had some questions on the street?
Yeah, people at this time of year, people start asking
flagging you down.
You know, and it's funny. And yeah. You know, that happens. You know, and some people hear my voice. Because they've listened to the show, and some people actually know who I am. So,
hey.
Yeah, there's always questions, and mm-hmm. that's good.
Yeah, it is good.
Good that people are interested and want to do stuff, and hopefully I can help them out.
Right. And maybe there's a different way you want to try something mm-hmm. this year. I think we get a lot of good tips from listeners calling in and just sharing what they do. I know our friend Bertie called last week to say, hey, Bertie from down in Delta, the one that knows about pretty much everything, but definitely about amaryllis and bulbs and stuff. And you're seeing your bulbs. Well, yeah, you mentioned the poppies and the alliums coming up. What about the rhubarb? That was...
The rhubarb's definitely pushing. Mm-hmm. It's really pretty because it's red.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's these red bulb things and then just opens up into leaves and things. So they're fun.
Yeah, I love rhubarb.
Mm-hmm.
How old is your plant? Is it as old as your homestead up there?
It's 15 to 20 years.
Okay, that's a pretty
And what's real, plant. What's interesting is I planted it at the corner underneath that white apricot tree.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it's gotten bigger and bigger. And then my friend wanted a piece. So I said, oh, take that half over there. And so she took it. That was the original half. And the half I have is actually outside that bed now.
Oh, no kidding.
It grew that far into the lawn. So I'll eventually have to, I don't know when, you know, but I will move it into, because since it's in the pathway now, it's in my way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to move it now.
Yeah, you've got a lot coming up.
God, way.
You need a lot more envelopes to write your stuff down on because the pressure is on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you did kind of finalize some fall, winter things, and that is your storage trench for food.
Yeah, the storage trench is out. I took care of that sometime over the weekend. And I probably got another 25 pounds of produce out of there. You know, carrots, beets, potatoes, radishes, and kohlrabi. And then I also had stored in there 25 Scarlet Nanti's carrots for seed crop.
Oh, great. And, oh, sure. You got the seed crop part of it.
Yeah.
That you're storing.
And then I also had about 25 or 30 Finocchio bulbs, roots and all. and stored then. And some of them rotted. You know, again, there's a Mediterranean plant.
And the Finocchio. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, but I cleaned them up a little bit and just, right now they're in the refrigerator, still cold. And I'll hopefully we'll be able to plant them next weekend.
Oh, sweet. So that's good timing.
Yeah.
Clear the pit. And when does the first bed of carrots start?
Mid-April.
Yeah. Which is only a couple weeks away. You made it sound like it's, I got plenty of time. But
no, there's not plenty right of there. Time. I might have to have somebody come help me move. Planting takes a little bit, but it's not hard.
Uh-huh.
You know, now that I've made those beds flat.
Right.
I have 7 rows instead of 6.
Yeah. And a whole row in your garden is a lot of extra work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And do you have everything figured out yet? Like where everything is going in right now? Or are you still working on that as you?
I have the core patches measured out, the small grain. I'll probably plant a barley in there, maybe kamut. That's measured out. The potato area is... Actually, I could go plant it now, but you don't want to plant it now.
Yeah, way too wet, huh?
Yeah. And then all 9 beds of the regular, you know, area is all measured out. And once I start planting, then I'll know where things.
And when you say measure, you're measuring because you know how many seeds you want to get in there, or you're just separating your beds and partitioning them, or?
Yeah, I'm measuring out the beds.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that if I plant, you know, there's the 2 end beds, they have one side that's got grass on them, the lawn.
Right.
If you plant the carrots on those edges, the bugs really eat those beds. Yeah,
oh, sure.
So I never plant carrots on those 2 end beds, only on the middle. So once I start planting carrots, there's going to be 5 beds of carrots all together.
Yeah.
And it's really fun after they all get planted, and you can actually see the progression.
Oh.
Because the first one's planted, and I don't plant anymore until that one comes up.
Oh, that would be a great time lapse, just to have a camera there for the
summer. And then, and so at one point, you know, early on, when all 5 beds are planted and up, they're all at different heights.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, so that's fun. And then one of those beds. Now, onions don't get eaten by the bugs. These the sow bugs or whatever. So I can plant the onions on one of those end beds.
I see. Yeah, I was going to ask you, as you're measuring those out then and you've determined what you're going to plant, do you also think of your companion plants that you're going to put on the perimeter or close by
weed
or bug?
There's certain stuff I do that with. Yeah, and that first bed that I plant will be either onions, but it'll also be Swiss chard, might be peas. There'll be maybe that Sutherland kale, which is a smooth kale. I'll plant that. And I might do like 3 successions of spinach and lettuce and cilantro in there also. And then that far bed, because I know this area, that far bed that's to the north, that's the cold spot in my garden.
Okay.
That's where the fall cabbage goes.
Okay.
Because they can handle cold weather. Yeah. So I already know that bed's going to be the cabbage one.
Just speaking of cabbage, I think that the first time I saw your garden, that was one of the things that just blew my mind was the amazing cabbage patch. And this year, your cabbage really stored well.
Yeah.
Did you do something different? Or
no, it was just... It stored well.
It was absolutely
And I still
gorgeous.
Have, I think there's 6 heads still left.
Really?
Yeah, there's 2 reds and there's 4 greens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good storage year.
Yeah.
You, for sure.
Yeah.
And that storage is in the sand, the buckets of sand?
It's buckets of sand in my garden room.
Yeah.
And the windows are still open. I got to make sure I go home and close them. I don't know if it's going to get cold tonight.
Right. Who knows what's
I'll know when
happen.
I step outside.
That's right. Anything different that you're doing in the garden this year? Any new plants going in that?
Last year I sampled out 3 different types of barley.
Mm-hmm. And that is and that I part will of the grain you're...
And I need to grow all of them out again all by themselves to get a large amount to cook with. So that's what's going to happen with that, is I'll grow one of those out. There's a black barley, there's an Arabian blue barley, and then there's a Burbank barley.
Ooh. Oh.
And that's your regular tan. And all mm-hmm. of these are open pollinated, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And they're not, you don't hull them, because most barley that you buy in the store has been hulled.
Okay.
Let me see, what's the term? Pearled.
Okay.
You know, and.
Hulled and pearled.
Yeah. And stuff where this is a whole grain. And that Burbank barley is a tan color. And I'm going to try just soaking it and cooking it just like rice and just eating it mm-hmm. just to see instead of – I put it in my bread that I baked the other day.
Uh-huh.
You know, but
– So you haven't cooked a lot with it.
No, because I don't have that much.
Right. But. Well, that'll be exciting, something new.
And then my friend Jan up in Gunnison, she likes to make miso.
Oh.
Well, what if I take the one of those things? They're probably all good for miso.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, for barley miso.
There you go.
Yeah.
Boy, I wonder what Jan's year is like so far. She's probably way behind the eight ball.
No, she. I have sent her lots and lots of seeds, and she's got it all, everything
is she
started.
Ready? Yeah, she does.
The only thing that we found out that I didn't have as far as seeds was Detroit Dark Reds.
Oh.
I have them, but I don't have enough to...
Get them going up in Gunnison.
Well,
right
I didn't
now.
Have enough for the amount she wanted.
To,
And so I have to plant that and grow it out next year for seed.
Okay, so that's going in.
Yeah.
Is that Jan's typical MO up there in Gunnison is to start most everything inside and then move it out? Or
yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of have to.
Mm-hmm. You can still so plant. The root crops don't do good transplanting, they'll generally fork, you know. If you don't mind those kind of things, but the root crops that you could still, except for the onions, she grows those out and plants them, you know, and she has seed swaps and sells and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, nice.
So getting the people up there to have their gardens.
Right, high country garden for sure. Yeah, and, I was going to ask you one other question about that, but it slipped my mind.
Mm-hmm.
We will be back next week, though, and, boy, you're going to have a lot to report on.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What about, we mentioned the weed.
The caller last week during the pledge drive who called up and stumped the Brain Trust with the weed description, which was sent up a quick flower shoot, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's yellow and had burrs on it.
Yeah.
Or it would stick to your socks.
Sock sticker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had someone emailed in and said, you know, you're welcome to bring that up to the extension office. Mm-hmm. They can probably help identify that. And your suggestion was send us a picture.
When it's in full bloom.
Yeah. Send it through the email worm@kvnf.org. And you can send those questions all week. And, we'll have them ready to go for the show. All right. Well, that is going to do it for us tonight, Lance. Really excited to get the season going. Really excited that it's a little bit different and anxious to see what that brings.
Yeah.
So.
Just be calm and you'll get it all done.
There we go. Keep it calm and cool.
Yep.
All right. We'll be back next Tuesday with Lance and Lulu for another edition of As the Worm Turns, It's How on Earth, and then One Woman's Perspective coming up at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns. Okay. KVNF.
Have a good evening.